We're going to turn to Mark chapter 14 this morning, if you would please. Mark's Gospel chapter 14. We're going to be there for a moment. Only a moment. Mark chapter 14. I'm sorry, it's actually, we finished that chapter, didn't we? It's Mark chapter 15. Okay. Yes, we'll read a few verses here. Yes. Yeah, just a very few. All right. And let's understand that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Christ. It is God's work that we are considering. It is vitally connected to history. It is not an ethereal system of thought, but it is firmly grounded in the roots of God's creative, providential history. And so this man Pilate, even though he did wickedly, he is forever remembered in the Christian church, even in the Apostles' Creed. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate. So let's remember that this is historical fact. It's not the thought of some deranged mind. Mark chapter 15. And straightway, that is immediately, in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said unto him, "Thou sayest." In other words, that's the affirmative answer, yes. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. He was amazed. He looked on Christ with admiration. For some reason, this man is answering nothing to these charges. He accepted that all of this is going to be charged against me. I'm going to bear all of these liars' sins, all of their self-deceptions. So we leave now the Gospel of Mark, and let's turn to the end of John's Gospel, where there is a fuller account given in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We'll begin our reading there at verse 28 and consider these few verses here. Not the remainder of the chapter, just a portion of it. John chapter 18, verse 28. Let us hear God's word. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, 'What accusation bring ye against this man?' They answered and said unto him, 'If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee.' Then said Pilate unto them, 'Well, take ye him and judge him according to your law.' The Jews therefore said unto him, 'It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he would die.'" It's very important. Jesus had spoken several times of him being lifted up. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to him. Speaking of the death that he would die on the cross. As the Lamb of God, He would be laid on the altar of sacrifice, even as the lamb was laid upon the wood. And the fire would be applied to the sacrifice. And the fire of the wrath of God certainly fell on the sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ. He would not be stoned to death, but His blood would be shed on the cross. He knew what death He should die. He was accepting the Roman penalty for death in the form of crucifixion. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, that is, for this purpose was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 38. We trust the Lord will bless His word. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are thankful that we come to the word of truth, not some cunningly devised fable. Lord, we praise Thee that there is not only the witness of history. We praise Thee that there is the witness of the living Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that has liberated many of us from the eternal bondage that we were chained in by nature. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us assurance that God raises the dead, because Thou hast raised us out of our natural crypt of spiritual death and brought us into life in Christ, O living God. We pray that Thou will please remember these who have been requested prayer today. O God, we pray that Thou wilt be the shield and protector of Brent's family in Louisiana today. Oh God, as the terror of another hurricane comes upon them, oh God, we pray that Thou wilt cause them to find their refuge in Christ. Cause them to see the utter hopelessness of help from Mary or the Pope, that they need Christ, the living Savior. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt turn those who are lost in His family to embrace the only Redeemer of God's elect. And Lord, we pray that Thou will have mercy upon our sister Alice today. Please, Lord, be merciful to our brother John and all their family. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt even be pleased to raise her up. And Lord, we pray that Thy name would be glorified. We pray for the Wilkes and also for the Marshalls today, that Thy good hand would be upon them for healing. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou dost care even for the bodies of Thy children. Lord, we ask Thee now that Thou will come and speak to that innermost part. Speak to the heart, oh God, to the conscience, to the will, to the affections. Lord, draw us after Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pilate's name means a man that was holding either a javelin or a spear in his hand. He was probably from a wealthy family in the city of Rome, and they were friends with the Caesar Tiberius. And Pilate, therefore, because of his family connection with Caesar, no doubt became the governor over Judea and Samaria, as well as Idumea. Idumea is the Roman name for old Edom. And he was made that governor in the year 25, during the years of Christ growing into adulthood before he began his public ministry in 25. History recorded some of Pilate's acts of terror against his Middle Eastern subjects. He hated the troublesome Jews. He didn't care anymore for the Gentile nations around either. In Luke chapter 13, the beginning of the chapter, we read of Pilate killing some Galileans who were simply making sacrifices. He caused their blood to be mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Report of Pilate's many atrocities were sent to Rome, to Tiberius Caesar. So Pilate was probably, at the time he interviewed the Lord Jesus Christ, he was probably fearful of having to answer for his evil deeds to Caesar. This may explain why Pilate had a little fear in his heart about going along with the malicious Jews in putting to death our innocent Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Historians tell us that about 4 years later, in AD 37, that Pilate was summoned to Rome to answer before Tiberius for all of the accusations that had been made against him, for all of the terrible things that he had done. And during Pilate's journey to Rome to face Caesar, Tiberius was stricken with death. But some, no doubt that eased some of Pilate's fears, but historians tell us that Pilate was never able to escape from his guilty conscience. And he finally tried to put away that guilty conscience by committing suicide. What a terrible end. As we look into the fullest account about Pilate today in John 18, I would note three things here. We see some deceitful enemies of Christ. And then we see a doubtful inquirer, that is Pilate, and the divine interpreter, Christ telling him the meaning of life and truth. So first of all, let's look at verse 28, 29, and 30 about some deceitful enemies. Well, they bound him and they took him away to the judgment hall. It says here in verse 28, and it was early, even as the other historians tell us, that it was in the morning. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. These self-righteous Jews would not go into the judgment hall lest they should be defiled. They were very zealous about ceremonial and outward cleanliness. They would meticulously keep these ceremonies, these traditions of the apostate rabbis, but they cared nothing for the greatest rabbi who had ever lived and still lives today, our Lord Jesus Christ. Though they were careful about their traditions, they cared nothing for the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that they would soon trample under their feet. They wanted to eat the Passover. Mark that. Had not Jesus and his disciples already celebrated the Passover? Yes. Exodus 12, verse 16 commanded that the Passover be killed, roasted, and eaten in the evening. It was the evening before. According to the Hebrew calendar, that was the beginning of that day. At 6, the previous evening, Christ and his disciples scripturally ate the Passover. But these wicked religious leaders were too busy in their conniving, their thirsting for shedding Christ's blood. They were too busy to celebrate their own Passover on that proper prior time the evening before. All of the four gospel historians report that the time of this coming into Pilate's presence was early morning. These enemies of Christ were so taken up with the trifling externals of their religious forms that they had no regard for the Messiah, who is the real Passover. Such is always the case with blind sinners who think that they can do some religious works that will make up for their sins. That's human nature. I know I've done some bad things, so I'm going to go do some good things to make up for my bad things. Many are the robbers and murderers that assume that they can continue in sin if they only go regularly to confession, to mass, or to catechism to be forgiven. It is not what my hands have done that can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne that can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers or sighs or tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. These deceitful enemies were deceiving themselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Certainly a lost, wicked human being cannot know the depth of the deceitfulness of the heart. It is only when the Spirit of God reveals it that we can grow into any understanding of what we are really like on the inside. And we don't generally like that picture. These enemies were trying to deceive Pilate. They said that Jesus forbids giving tribute to Caesar. They were lying. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." They said, "He stirreth up and perverteth our nation." What liars! And then they spoke the truth. They said that he himself says that he is Christ, the King. Amen. Hallelujah. He is Christ the King. The liars finally spoke the truth. These Hebrew clergy had spoken sarcastically to Pilate in verse 29. You see what they say? Pilate then went out and said to them, verse 29, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." They're so sassy, self-centered, smart-aleck bunch of religious hypocrites. They were speaking to the governor in that hateful, sarcastic way. So he speaks back to them in like fashion, the way they spoke to him. He says in verse 31, take him and judge him according to your law. You can speak to me that way? Just take him and judge him according to your law. But they couldn't, because that was against the law for them to do that. So we come from these deceitful enemies to a doubtful inquirer. Pilate had answered them in kind with what they had said. You know, the Jews were actually admitting outright that Jesus was the Messiah by what they had just said. Do you see what they're saying there? At the end of verse 31, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. If they had really known and understood their own scriptures, they would have realized that Jesus Christ is indeed their Messiah. It's not lawful for us to put any man to death. What does that mean? They should have listened to what they were saying, the words that were coming out of their mouth. Their nation had lost its independence. Their sovereignty was gone. They had no real civil government of their own. God said long before in Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. What does that mean? It means that there would be the scepter. They would have authority. They would have rulership as King David came from the tribe of Judah until David's son came. They would have the scepter. And they had recently had it. They had had their own sovereign rule during the time of the Maccabees, which was not so long before. But now, they had no, absolutely no political sovereignty themselves at all. Shiloh had come. And unto him, people were already gathering. And if those poor benighted people had any real scripture understanding, they would have fallen at the king's feet that very day. Because it was evident by what they said, Shiloh had come, the one whose right it is, the one who truly brings shalom, peace. Pilate was somewhat amazed at Jesus. When all the accusations were hurled against Christ, he said nothing. No response. He was indeed as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The wicked try to heap guilt on Jesus, and yet he said nothing. He was silently, simply accepting and assuming the guilt of liars and sinners and deceivers and malicious and hateful and ungodly people. Soon he would be made sin for us, though we personally committed no sin. Pilate couldn't understand. Christ was not defending himself. He was submitting to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. When Pilate asked Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Verse 33. Jesus answered him. And all of the gospel historians show us that Jesus answered him in the affirmative. Yes. Jesus answered Pilate's question with a question. Now think about that. Jesus answered Pilate's question with a question. Now remember, when Jesus asked a question, it was never to acquire information that he did not already possess. No, he already knew. When Jesus asked a question, he asked in order to lead others to think. To think about their answer. To think about why they think the way that they do. When Pilate asked in verse 38, what is truth? He didn't wait for an answer. It was a sneering, skeptical question of a pagan Roman. What is truth? Pilate did not believe that there was such a thing as absolute truth. So he simply walked away. But obviously, a man with a troubled conscience does not like a close conversation with a good man. It gets too close to his heart. So Pilate reached the same conclusion that Judas did. Notice verse 38. He went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Anyone who had the slightest bit of honesty anywhere in the corner of their nature would have to admit there was no fault in Christ at all. I find in him no fault at all. Well, we have looked at some deceitful enemies and a doubtful inquirer. But finally, let's hear from the divine interpreter himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ did not simply state, I am a king. He explained his meaning. He interpreted his words and his kingdom. Now we need a clear understanding of what Christ meant when he said in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Now let's think about that very carefully. My kingdom is not from hence, he says in verse 36. My kingdom does not find its origin on this planet. It didn't start here. My kingship was long before this. He says in verse 6, but now is my kingdom not from hence. But let's realize one day it will be completely filling this realm. It will overwhelm the whole earth, his kingdom. Christ's kingdom is eternal, almighty, and spiritual. Every government on this earth is responsible to God and will be blessed only as it submits to King Jesus in time and in history. Any government that tries to hinder Christ's kingdom is doomed unless there's repentance. Christ is king over all the earth. And all people had best learn of him, and all people will be happier and healthier by submitting to King Jesus even now. He says in verse 37, to this end was I born. For this purpose I was born. Speaking of his true human nature, I was born into this scene of time. For this cause came I into the world. Here he is revealing his eternal deity, that divine nature he had always had, but he came into the world. He was not only born into the world, but he came into the world. He came to be king. And to be witness to the truth. To witness the truth. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Let us not forget what the Holy Spirit of God is teaching us in this passage. Oh, the emptiness of religion that majors on man-made ceremonies and on outward forms, while heart religion and practical holiness are forgotten. May the Lord enable us to cry with the psalmist in that psalm where we sang. Psalm 119, verse 128. I esteem all thy commandments concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way, even in myself. Not just in the world, but in the deceitfulness of the heart. Poor benighted Pilate, he came so close into contact with him who is the very incarnation of the truth. The truth manifest in human flesh. Oh, the dark blindness of unrenewed sinners. He looked into the very face of truth, and yet he could not see, he could not understand. Pilate understood that there was no fault at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he could walk away from the Savior and disregard the Messiah's witness, which alone was the clue to the maze in the natural darkness of his soul. Thus he missed forever his grandest opportunity to gain life and salvation by falling down at the feet of the one man that he had ever seen he could find no fault in. Oh, the sweet and blessed silence of Jesus. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He bore our sins, all of our evil words, and all of our vile self-deceptions. He patiently assumed all our sins and all the guilt with all the penalty. Oh, the matchless majesty of our King and Savior. He is the true sovereign. By him, kings reign and princes decree justice. Every ruler must serve the Lord Christ or perish miserably and eternally. Is Christ your king today? Do you honestly submit to him? Is your will surrendered to him? Is your life directed by the king from his throne? Beware as we sing our closing song today that you do not utter empty, self-deceiving words about Jesus, even as those religious leaders did, to their everlasting ruin. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we confess that we would be nothing, we would have nothing, we would have no hope, we would be utterly undone, but we thank thee for giving thy dear Son. O eternal God, we confess that there's so much that we do not know. There's so much that we do not understand because we are operating inside the box of our own limitations of time and space. But we praise thee, O God, that thou art beyond these, that thou art the creator of these very things, and we trust in thee. O God, write the truth upon our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.